continue that way until we go home. And so what we have to do is we have to look at the ultimate example, Jesus Christ, and say, how did he deal with them? Now, however he dealt with them, that's how we need to deal with them. And one of the things that he told us was that he, in this, when he was teaching, in the book of Matthew, he tells the other people around, he says, hey, the things that they bid you to do, do them. He said, but don't, and I'm paraphrasing, but he warned the people, don't do the things they do. He told the people in Matthew, he said, basically, the things they're telling you and teaching you to do and observe, do those things. But don't do the way that they live. Don't act the way that they live, because Jesus said, they say and do not. Okay? So we're looking at these, we're still looking at this situation here where he's preaching and the Pharisees are having a problem with it. But tonight, I want to look specifically at, we're going to look at most of these verses, but there's one that really stands out. One that really, we're going to get our, take most of our sermon from tonight. And it really stands out to me, and it's a verse that is kind of like, you remember a few weeks ago, maybe it's been a month or more now, but on a Sunday evening, we looked at back in chapter 6, and in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And you remember about a month ago on Sunday night, we looked at that. And I was expressing how that verse just kind of, it's almost indescribable what that verse says and how that verse stands out. We have a verse here tonight that is kind of the same thing. At least to me it is. I hope to you, I hope that the significance of this verse really stands out to you this evening. But let's begin reading here in verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Okay. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, okay, so the priests and the Pharisees are saying to the officers, why have ye not brought him? Why have ye not brought him? They're saying, why didn't we sent you to get him? We sent you to arrest him. Why haven't you brought him to us? The officers answered, and here it is, never man spake like this man. Something about that verse right there just stands out to me. There's so much packed in that verse. Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? The Pharisees asked the officers, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them. See, he's one of this group, what was called the Sanhedrin, which would be like the ruling, governing body, okay, of the Pharisees and the chief priests. They had kind of like a council, like a group that oversaw everything, and it was called the Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus, we already know from chapter 3, was one of them, okay? He was one of those. He had one of those chief seats. And it says here, in verse 51, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Lord, just help us tonight to be changed by your word and to be encouraged. As we leave here tonight, we have some encouraging things to look at. And let us get the strength that we need for the rest of the week here in our evening service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach tonight just for a few minutes on no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. The world has its idols. The world doesn't hide the fact that it has its idols. The world has people that it looks up to, people that it thinks are great, wonderful, and they'll wear the t-shirts and they'll fly the flags and they'll put on the bumper stickers and they'll buy the albums and they'll buy the tickets and they'll do it. The world has always had its idols. And why is it that they have idols? Well, they think that that person is great. They think, boy, there's just never been anybody like this person. Before the service, Sister Diana and I don't even remember how. Oh, we were talking about beaches. People going to beaches, and I made a joke about the old Elvis movies. You know, because from in the 60s, if it was Elvis, there was a race car and a beach, and that was about the premise of the movie, wasn't it? That's about all they were. You know, once they got in color, that's about all it was. And it was the same songs over and over. So we were joking about that. And we got to talking about Elvis Presley, one of the biggest idols this country has ever had. But people, they just worshipped him, didn't they? They loved him. They worshipped him. And they would buy his albums and they would go through, you know, they would do whatever they had to do to get the tickets to go see him. And I was, as a young man, I was a fan. Back in my carnal days, I used to listen to a lot of Elvis Presley and haven't for years. And I was saying just a little while ago that looking back, it leaves me scratching my head. I don't think the man was talented. I realize some people really think. I just look back and don't see what the appeal was. I just don't care for the way the man sang. And, you know, and a lot of the songs were just stupid. They were just goofy. But anyhow, you look at these people that the world loves, and there are more of them. And when the idols of today pass away, there'll be another one come along. They're always coming down the road, aren't they? But you look at these idols that people have, and they think that they're just wonderful, that they're just the greatest thing ever. And you look at them, and you have to ask the question, what are you so excited about? What is so great about this person? What is so great about a ball player or some Hollywood star or director or whatever it might be, somebody on television who can't keep a marriage together longer than a 2 or 3 years, if they even bother to get married, who can't stay out of jail, who can't stay off of drugs, who can't, every time you turn around, they're in the headlines because they've broken some other law, but the world just goes crazy over them, don't they? But there was one man who walked this earth that no one has ever been able to even come close to. Nobody ever, ever lived that can be compared to Jesus Christ. And he's the most hated person who ever lived on the face of this earth. The most hated person that has ever walked. Look, people don't hate Hitler. People didn't hate Hitler. People didn't hate Hussein as much as they hate Christ Jesus. And he said in his word, that's exactly what was going to happen. And he didn't say one day they were going to hate him. He said it in the present tense. He said, they hate me. And he told his followers, they hate you because they hate me. That one who is love, that one who came and showed the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate expression of love, so hated by the world. But listen, listen. Let me read it one more time. And this is what it all revolves around tonight. Never man spake like this man. Now you stop and think about that. Maybe you have a favorite speaker, okay? Maybe you have an author that you like to read. Maybe there's a singer that you like. And one of the reasons that you enjoy listening to that person's music or listening to that person give a speech or reading that person, because they stand out to you, don't they? They stand out to you and you say, boy, nobody sings like that. They're just good. Nobody sounds that good to me. That's just the best singer I've ever heard. Boy, I tell you what, he just writes the best novels I've ever read. They're so interesting. They're comical, or you know, maybe they're full of suspense, if that's what you like. But why do people stand out? Because they're different. They're different. And that's what gets your attention, is the fact that this person does what they do differently than everybody else. When somebody's different, they stand out. But have you noticed that when it comes to things like that, you might have two or three people that you enjoy reading. So I like them in this genre, and I like, but if I'm going to read something that's comedy, I like to read this person. Or if I'm going to read short stories, I really like this person's short stories. When it comes to music, you say, oh, but if you want to hear a love song, you got to hear so-and-so sing it. Or if you want to hear, nobody sings a hymn like this guy, or this group is just, they've got the best harmony. So you might even have multiple people that stand out. But Jesus Christ, never man spake like this man. It wasn't that he was a little bit better than everybody else. They're saying, hey, nobody even comes close to this guy. We have never heard anybody say the kind of things with the kind of authority and the kind of power that this man says. Never. Let's look at that this evening, but before we get to that, let's look at a couple other things. As we go back to the first few verses here, I want to preach tonight on the fact that there's no one like Jesus. But I want us to see, first of all, there is a need for understanding. In verses 40 through 44, there's a division here and people are arguing. Okay? In verse 41, others said, this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Yes. And out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Yes. But all they were thinking about was, when this guy got here, he came from Galilee. Yeah, but he was born in the city of David. Now you should have known that. Now you could have known that. Okay, he was born in your time. You had to know what happened. Had you examined, had you looked deeper, you would see that. But here there's this division, there's this arguing, there is a need for understanding. It's imperative that we know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By the way, that reminds me, a couple of us have been blessed to be relieved of our jury duty. Carol and I got that wonderful phone message. But anyhow... And Amy and I were just talking to somebody else who had it. It might be Penny. Maybe Penny's up for it. Is Penny up for it? Okay, let's see if third time's a charm. All right? It is imperative that we know the truth. There are divisions. There are divisions today because man will not simply believe the Bible for what it says. Look. They're arguing about where Christ was supposed to come from, and their arguments would have been settled if they just looked to what the Word said and examined, is he the one that was born in Bethlehem? Because we know somebody was born there about 30 years ago. We know that. We all got the Word when it happened. Where did he go? Is this him? Did he come out of Galilee before he came here? We got to know this Word. We got to study this Word. We've got to dig into this Word. And we have to understand everything that God has to say to us. Because whenever we take bits and pieces, that's where denominations come from. That's where fights come from and factions come from and all these problems. When we don't just say, hey, let's all agree. Yeah, you know that saying where people say, let's agree to disagree. Well, okay, maybe there are some trivial things in life where that's okay. But I get tired of hearing people say that about the Bible. And I've heard people say it about the Bible. Well, we just agree to disagree. That's not scriptural. Okay? yes, we may disagree, and the other and some people just aren't going to change their mind, and that okay. But this let's agree to disagree is almost it to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you see it differently, and that's fine. To me, it's almost like saying, well, you know, neither one of us is really right or wrong. I don't know. That's just how that sounds to me. Let's agree to disagree. It kind of sounds like you're giving up. Like, well, who knows who's right and who's wrong? Why don't we get back to let's agree on what this says? If this says it, let's agree with the Bible. Let's agree with God's Word. Let's not worry about agreeing or disagreeing with one another. Let's all agree with God's Word and what God's Word says. But there's a division here because there's a need for understanding. You and I should not be surprised whenever we see that today. We won't turn there, but in Matthew chapter 10, Christ pointed out that He didn't come to bring peace on earth. He said He came to bring a sword. He said families, homes were going to be turned against one another. There were going to be divisions and problems because of Him. It's always been that way. People argue over the Bible. They argue over Jesus Christ. They argue over what He said. And it could be settled if we would just let the Word speak for itself and agree with what the Word says and keep ourselves out of it. Well, here we find a group of people that want to do away with Jesus. You can see that their anger is clear. In verse 45, it says, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they say unto them, Why have ye not brought Him?" Remember, just a few verses back, He said, "You've sought to kill Me," and they said, "Who's trying to kill you? You've got a devil." Now, just a few verses later, "Why haven't you brought Him?" There is a clear, clear anger. And we're going to come back to verse 46 in a minute. I want to go to 47. It says, "Then answered them the Pharisees," pardon me, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on Him? But the people who knoweth not the law are cursed." I don't know if you see this right off the bat, but these three verses are so laden with pride. They are so thick with arrogance, these three verses. You want to talk about pride, just proud, arrogant people here. The first thing that they say, the first thing they say to them there in verse 47 is basically this: "Don't tell me you're falling for it too." You ever been there? You really believe that stuff? Oh, you're going to be one of them now, huh? What, you one of them holy rollers? One of them Bible thumpers? One of them Jesus freaks? Is that what you are? You get saved and your friends say, "Oh, you want to join the commune now? Going to go out in the woods somewhere and sit Indian style and hum? Going to be crazy, aren't you?" Look, they're saying, it's the same thing that we see today. They asked them, "Are ye also deceived?" What, did He get to you too? Did He get to you too? Was He able to sway you? Are you fooled? Hey, it's amazing to us who see the deception of the devil and we don't understand how other people don't see it. You look at some things that people are deceived by and you ask yourself, how do they not see that? How can they not understand that they're being deceived? That's not what's happening here, though. The truth is being preached, and people are believing the truth, and these people who hate the truth are saying, "Are you deceived too? Oh, did He get to you?" Maybe you've been there. Maybe someone said that to you when you got saved. How many people were disappointed whenever you got saved? How many people were disappointed whenever you decided that you were going to live your life for Christ? Let the good times roll no more. Not at their house. Don't ask them. They're one of them now. Or you can call it what you want, but I'm glad to be one of them. I'm glad to be one of you. If you're redeemed, I'm redeemed, I'm glad to be a part of that crowd. As we said this morning, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm glad to be a part of that crowd. I'm glad to be one of them. I'm glad to be a whosoever who trusted in Jesus Christ. That's fine. Call me deceived. Call me duped. Call me weak. Accuse me of using the Bible as a crutch. I do. You ever heard that one? No, that Bible is just a crutch. You need a crutch. I absolutely need a crutch. And you need one too. I'm just smart enough to admit it and you won't. You just need something to prop you up. Absolutely, because I know how wretched this flesh is. Oh, you can't stand on your own. You just need that Bible. That's why I need the Bible, because I know I can't stand on my own. Because I'm going to face eternity one day, and I can't stand that judgment on my own. I need help. I need somebody else to do it for me. I need a lawyer. I can't represent my own case. I cannot be my own counsel. I need somebody to go in my place. Yes, Jesus, prop me up. Yes, be my crutch. Yes, I need this. You know what happened? You ever seen somebody that needs a cane or needs a crutch and they don't have it with them? Try to get from here to there? Hobbling along, bent over, moving slow. Maybe they can't even get there. Give them their cane, give them their walker, give them their crutch. What can they do? Now I can move along. Now I can get to where I need to go. Yeah, it's a crutch. Because I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I know that I cannot. There is a song that I used to sing. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Does anybody know that song? Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Maybe when you got saved, people said, oh, you're one of them now. Now, I don't need some kind of crutch. Yes, you do. You just get it out of a bottle. You just get it out of a package. You get it off the television. You get it from government, from politics, from sports, from your own pride, from lust, or whatever. You absolutely need a crutch. I've just chosen to let Jesus Christ hold me up. Let Him represent me. Because I can't even crawl on my own. They're looking at Him, oh, have you been deceived too? No. We've just heard the truth and believed the truth and put our faith in the truth. No deception whatsoever. Notice the next thing they say to Him in verse 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on Him? Boy, what arrogance. What arrogance. What they're saying is, you don't see any of us believe in that, do you? Wonder how many of them thought, yeah, that was my big red flag. That was what told me I ought to believe it, because none of you guys believed it. Come on, you've heard me say this before. In this world that we live in, when you see something getting very big and very popular in this world, it's probably not biblical. It's probably not of God, especially if it's some religious fad. If it's really popular and really big and really huge, whether it's claims to be Christian or what, if it's very popular in this world, it's more than likely not biblical. Because everything that this book teaches is contrary to the way that the world lives and what their philosophies are. Okay, these should be markers, signs, red flags. Well, listen, if they knew the Pharisees well, maybe that was an indication, hey, there's probably something to this, because if those guys don't like him, probably something to this. You know, when elections come around, somebody's running for something. A lot of times I'll pay a little attention to the guy that all of the other politicians hate. That's usually the guy that I'll listen to. I'm not saying those guys are always right, but I'll at least stop. If all the politicians hate him, then a lot of times I'll stop and say, what have they got to say? You know, if all the career guys can't stand this guy, maybe he has some, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. We know that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But listen, the Pharisees are so arrogant, and they're saying, you see any of us believing in him? Come on. Come on. Why would you be so foolish? We don't listen to him. We don't believe in him. Why would you follow him? Well, why would I follow you? What do you have to offer? You keep teaching me stuff that you made up. You keep passing off your traditions. You're trying to keep me in bondage, and this guy came to set me free. Why would I listen to you? We see their anger. We see their arrogance. Boy, if I had another A, I could alliterate it. But I don't. Now look at this, verse 49. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Do you remember last week, I think it was, we looked at the common man and how these religious people and the Pharisees, they look down on the common man. Well, you just don't know anything. You didn't go to our school. We know you just don't know any better. Look, they said, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. You haven't been taught the way that we have, so that's why you're being deceived and duped by him. I won't spend a lot of time on this because I mentioned it here recently. Just within the last couple weeks, I mentioned this. People who are educated in the ways of the world are oftentimes the hardest people to witness to and get them to see the truth. Sometimes people get so educated in the things of the world that it turns into this kind of arrogance. You think you're going to tell me something? And they're saying, they're making fun of the common people. They're making fun of the people who don't know the law the way that they do. But you see, the truth is, those people, a lot of them came to Christ without preconceived notions. They came to Christ without a mind cluttered with religion. They came to Christ just with a need to be saved and heard the truth. And it pricked their hearts and they believed. And those ones who know the law, they're trying to kill him. Now, who's cursed here? Who's cursed? They thought they were something. They ridiculed the common man. Now look, here are these people standing before them. Here's a question tonight. Are you going to be concerned with what others think about him? Or are you going to think about what Christ thinks about you and where you stand with him? And then they're ridiculed. Why didn't you bring him? Are you deceived too? You see any of us believing in him? Those people out there that don't know any better, they're cursed. When that happens to you, what's your response going to be? Don't you know science has discovered this? Don't you know that we have figured this out? Don't you know the greatest thinkers in the world have discovered? And don't you know that this theory, we're this close to proving it? Well, okay, go ahead, but this has never been a theory that I've had to prove. This has been fact from the beginning. You see, you're still trying to figure out if what you're saying is right. We've known all along. Yeah, but you don't know what we know. I don't want to know what you know, because what you know is keeping you from Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. Boy, they're angry with them. They're arrogant. They're questioning them. They're grilling them. These men have got a choice. We're going to buckle. Are we going to buckle? Or are we going to listen to that? We're going to listen to that man that's been out there preaching. One sentence inflamed and enraged these Pharisees, and it was, "Never man spake like this man." I want to go back to that. Go back to that here for just a couple minutes, and then we'll finish. What would cause these officers that were sent to arrest him to come back without him? And you notice they didn't come back and say, we just couldn't get a hold of him. That guy is fast. I mean, that guy is strong. He whooped every one of us. I don't know if it's still on. A very popular show used to be Cops. When Cops came on, back when I was in high school, you could watch it. But I know that in the last few years that I watched it, it got really filthy. It got really bad. But you used to be able to watch Cops. And Cops to me was always more of a comedy than anything else. I mean, I learned, okay, if I ever wanted to be a dope dealer, I learned everything not to do by watching Cops. But apparently no other dope dealer ever watches Cops. Because every single dope dealer on Cops drives either stolen car or a car with expired license plates with a taillight out, and they speed and they go through stop signs while having 5,000 pounds of dope in their trunk. And they kept catching guys like this all the time, all the time, all the time. And I used to think, do you not watch this show? Do you not watch Cops, okay? If you're hauling dope, make sure that your license plates are up to date, that all your lights work, drive the speed limit, and stop at every stop sign, and you might not get pulled over. Okay? None of these guys went down the road and dope's flying out their windows. That's not how they catch them. They catch them by going through stop signs and things. Wouldn't you think you would be minding your P's and Q's? But I used to watch that show, and sometimes they'd get a guy who would be just strung out on something. Just absolutely strung out on something. And he might not even be that big of a guy, but a lot of times when you're on something like that, it's almost like they have superhuman strength sometimes. Take five great big old guys to get one guy down just because of that, whatever it was that he smoked or stuck in his arm or whatever. Does crazy things to people. Sometimes people, you'd see them on there and they'd have trouble arresting somebody because he was so big. You know, the guy's so big, they tase him and he just stands there and laughs at him. Or he's so high, it doesn't do anything. They're hitting the guy and it's not even fazing him. He's a great big guy. Maybe they just drove faster. They got away from him. They ran faster. Maybe there were so many people that they got lost in the crowd and they couldn't find him. We've seen those things happen. None of those things happened with Jesus. They didn't lay hands on him because they couldn't until he said, okay, now it's time. They didn't come back and say, boss, he got away. He ran. He was ducking underneath bushes and we just couldn't find him. No. Now think about that. They didn't come back and give, why didn't you bring him? And they said, never man spake like this man. You're telling me you didn't bring him back just because of what he said? Absolutely. That was their defense. And that's all they needed. Why do you go to that church? Why do you read that Bible? Why do you live the way that you live? The people ask that. They don't understand. Well, because just something about Jesus that makes him different than any other man that's ever walked the face of this earth.
Why do you do that? Why do you bother with that? Why do you go down there? Don't you know it's Sunday night and we could be down at the lake? Don't you know it's Sunday morning and we could be headed to the track? Don't you know it's Wednesday night and, boy, we're tired from working all week? And why would you want to go out and spend your Saturday? It's a nice Saturday. Why do you want to go out and hang those little plastic bags on people's doors? Why do you want to do that? Because never man spake like this man. Because if you're willing to sit with your shirt off in 10-degree weather and snow and scream with a block of cheese on your head for a bunch of guys running up and down a field who've done nothing for you, I'm doing what I do for a man who saved my soul from hell. I'm not going to hell. My sins are forgiven, and I don't deserve that. Well, let's back that one up. My sins are forgiven. I don't deserve that. I'm going to heaven. I don't deserve that. I got a good family because I raised my family on His Word. I don't deserve that. I got a good church family. I don't deserve that. I ate today. I've got clothes today. I don't deserve any of that. I'm still breathing. Boy, if you know the things that I've done, I shouldn't be here. I don't deserve that. And all of that is because never man spake like this man. All of that is because there was one man who wasn't like anybody before, and there's been nobody since. I can think of no greater reason to live the life that we live than the person of Jesus Christ. He saved us, loved us, blesses us, answers our prayers. Do we still have it rough sometimes? Yeah, it's because we live in a fallen, sinful world. But will this be the only life in which we have these problems? Absolutely. It's all gonna end someday. Never man spake like this man. Oliver B. Green said this about this passage. These men went to arrest Jesus, and His words arrested them. They went to arrest Him, and they ended up being arrested by His words. Now, can you picture these guys? All right, down there he is. Let's go get him, guys. You guys go around the back, make sure he doesn't get away. Hold on a minute. And within a few minutes they're just dumbfounded. And then they come back. Where's he at? You should have heard what he was saying. Well, you ain't ever heard anything like that. You should have heard what... I wonder if any of them thought, boy, you guys think you know how to preach. You should have heard that guy. You ought to go learn from him. Never man spake like this man. Just by his words. Christ didn't say, Peter, Andrew, you guys, block them. Don't let them in here while I'm preaching. Didn't have to. Wasn't time for him to go. And they were just caught by what he said. Doesn't tell us if they believed, but they heard what he said and went back and said, it's no ordinary man we're dealing with here. And that's right, because he's the God man. When you finally come face to face with Christ, you really only have one choice, and that is to admit there's never been a man, nor will there ever be a man like this man. Now, you might choose not to put your faith and trust in Him, but if you're honest, you have to at least admit, never been anybody like Him. You can reject Him if you want, but you have to admit, there's never been anybody like this. Never been anybody like this. Man's words are vain, they're empty. Christ holds the words of life. Let's look at three passages of Scripture and be done. Look back at chapter 6, there in John, chapter 6. And verse 63, keep this in mind. They said, never man spake like this man. Why? Well, because chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth,
The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's one of the reasons why nobody ever spake like him. What we just sang tonight? He hath the words of life, and I am resolved. He hath the words of life. That's why I'll follow him, because nobody talks like that. Have you noticed not just, I think we all know how the English language has just degraded and fallen apart. We realize that. But have you noticed that people don't know how to speak in public anymore? I mean, even like people who do it for a living, politicians and even some teachers and newscasters. And when I was in high school, we had to take speech. Did anybody else have to take speech? We had to take speech, okay? Diana just cringed. Had to take speech. And there is one specific lesson that Mrs. Greggs, Mrs. Smith, she was married by then. One specific lesson that Mrs. Smith taught us in speech that I've never forgotten. And because of this lesson, it drives me crazy to listen to people talk, especially on the television or when people give a speech. And that is, when you speak, and I do it from time to time. Boy, I try not to, but I do it sometimes. When you speak, you do not use words like Have you noticed how many people, when they speak, every other word is I've had to turn things off. Even if I wanted to hear what they were saying, I've had to turn things off because you can't. How about this one? You know? Hey, man, you know? If you know me, you know I really hate this one. I know, right? Boy, that didn't even make sense. I know, right? Hey. People just don't know how to speak. And then when you hear somebody who does know how to speak, you say, he's talked for 5 minutes and hasn't said He hasn't said He hasn't said like. Like. Everything's like. It stands out because you say, boy, I haven't heard that in a while. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Now think about this. They're not talking about somebody who just doesn't use the word like and you know what I'm saying and. They're talking about the words of life coming from his lips. They were arrested by him not because of his eloquence of speech, but because the words that he spoke to them were the words of salvation. Forgiveness, redemption. They weren't saying, he has such a broad vocabulary, which he did. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, these words that he's speaking, they're life. There's life in these words. Look at verse 68 there in chapter 6. We just read it a minute ago. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's why no man ever spake like him. And then finally, I want you to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. In my opinion, Matthew chapter 7 and these two verses that we're going to read are the perfect cross-reference. My Bible doesn't have cross-reference. I like a Bible that has good cross-references in it. I think that that is... I believe that a Bible with good cross-references will help you more than a study Bible with man's notes in it any day. I do. I believe. I'm not saying that there aren't some good study notes out there, but I think that if you're going to make a choice, get one with good cross references before you worry about study notes. Cross references will really help you out. I think that these verses here might be the perfect cross reference to the passage that we're reading in John chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now look, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Wow. You get that? You get that? That's like saying, boy, this isn't like the meatloaf you make. This one's good. That's like saying, this isn't like the car I have. This one runs. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know what they were used to hearing? They were used to hearing, I guess it would be comparable to when the scribes taught, I guess it would be what we were just now talking about. They were used to hearing, like, you know what I mean? Come on, man, you're going to tell us something? You've been talking for a half an hour. You've been talking for a half an hour and you haven't said a thing. Well, those scribes they're just reading words. There's no authority there. For he taught them as one having authority. You know why? Because he did. And not as the scribes. And so these officers go back. Why didn't you bring him to us? Because no man ever spake like this man. That's why we didn't bring him. We're not dealing with just any old fella here. No one. I'll close with this. No one can do what Christ does. I realize that we say those things and we hear those things that we almost get used to them and they almost start to sound cliche. But it's not a cliche. Anybody else ever died for your sins? Even if they did it do any good? But did a perfect man die for your sin? Did he come up out of the grave? Did he pardon you when all you did was trust him? And he didn't require you to go through a long list of works? He just said, believe. Did he pardon you? Has he guided you? Has he led you through his word? Has he led you in paths of righteousness? Has he led you by still waters? Has he been your shepherd? You know, I've heard it said that, and I don't know if this is true or not. I've tried to look it up to find it, but I can't find anything on this. But I have heard it said that sheep won't drink from running water. And so the shepherds would take their staff, their crook, and they would, if they couldn't find still water, they would stick that in the water and break that water and cause like a little eddy. You know, if you're ever out at the lake or at the creek or the river or something, whenever water hits an obstruction, it breaks around that, and just on the other side of that rock or that log, the water's kind of calm, just on the other side. So they would put that staff in the water that was rushing and kind of break it, and the water would be still right there so that sheep could drink. And the Bible tells us that he leads us beside still waters. He anointeth my head with oil. Here's something else I've heard about sheep. Sheep have these little, they're kind of like fleas, little bugs that get mainly on the top of their head where the hair's real thick there. And sheep can't scratch them. They can't do much about them. So the shepherd would take an oil and work it in to get rid of those fleas and to ease that irritation. They'd take that oil and rub it in. I can't do that. So he would do that for them. He anointeth my head with oil. Anybody else lead you beside still waters? Anybody else anoint your head with oil? Anybody else do what Christ has done for you? not for me. Never been a man like him, never will be a man like him. That's why they didn't arrest him. That's why they didn't lay hands on him. No one can do what Christ does. No one speaks like him. That's why he's hated by the world, but that's why he's loved by the redeemed. So listen. The same reason that they didn't arrest him, because never man spake like this man, is the same reason Christians ought offer themselves a living sacrifice and follow him and live for him and do what he says and be obedient to him. Why? Why not? Why not? If you'll excuse my hillbilly vernacular, ain't nobody like him. Never has been, never will be. So the last thing I want to say as we close tonight is this. Does Christ still have your heart under arrest? Do you still look at him with that awe? Is Christ still that one that you look at? Like the church is the bride. And when we get married in this country, we've got it backwards. Okay? The weddings are all about the bride. Everything's about the bride and the groom. That's not how it was in Bible culture, in Bible times. It was all about the groom. But you take a young man, a young woman getting married, and she looks to him, and he's just the greatest thing, and he can do no wrong. And the sun rises and sets in his eyes. We're the bride of Christ. Do we still look at Christ that way? Are we still that adoring bride that says, oh, you're everything? Do we have a Song of Solomon Christianity that, oh, he's everything? He is just everything. Or has our attention been arrested by something else? He's worth it. He's worthy. I pray he'll deal with us on that this week. Let's pray, and then I want to speak to you for just a moment, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word, what you have taught us. We just thank you for who your Son is. God, help us to just be just enraptured by who he is. Enthralled by who he is, and just adore him for who he is, because there's never been anybody like him. God, help us to just see you for who you are in a way that we never have before, through your word and through prayer, to be drawn closer to you. And let these wonderful truths change us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.